We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What could I do? Oh, shut up. We're on air.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the DNVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go!
Thank you.
Well, we're on time.
Adam keeps giving me referendums on the energy, and then all I do is meet people that tell me how much they love listening to me.
Your energy, your energy on Sunday was fantastic. Good, great energy.
No, I didn't.
Very drunken energy.
Oh, the drunk ass.
Oh. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR when you sign up. You place all your bets. Have a good time. I got Harrison Wind in the house, fresh off of a little weekend getaway.
Yeah. I was in Houston. I don't know if I described that as a getaway. It was kind of a trip.
Okay.
Shockingly cold in Houston this weekend is all I can say.
Shockingly cold?
Yeah, man. Who thought Houston was the windiest place on earth? Maybe it was just because I was there. I brought the wind.
I do. Oh, my God.
Surprisingly windy in Houston. I had no idea. But the good news is I'm back and... We were at a Nuggets practice today, I think for the first time since November 17th.
That's true, man.
That's the last time like I attended a Nuggets practice.
So insane, man. And then the practice went short. It's crazy that we had to practice, and there's like clearly not that much to work on. No. Everything looks good. We're good here, guys. I got D-Line Co. in the house.
What's up, guys? Man, the Nuggets practice. I was watching the Nuggets.
Are you surprised that teams just practice anymore? Yeah.
No, I'm surprised. It's such a strange concept. Like NBA teams never practice. This is like something that I just never had thought about until I got engrossed in this ridiculous world. But like, what? They don't practice.
They do like walkthroughs where they'll put in the plays for that game. You know, I mean, when I say put in the plays, they have like their plays they always go to, but they'll put in the like, hey, we're gonna run it like this tonight, or here's how they defend it, so here's how
we're gonna
counter.
Call this tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna do this or that. But I mean, that strategically speaking, it's not, you know, that's not like as much as you would think. They're not every touch the line.
We missed 23s last night. We got 20 suicides today, boys.
Yeah. Definitely not like that.
What do you think Jeff Green would say to that?
No thanks.
Bro. What?
Yeah, Jeff Green would just say no thank you. But there are a lot of interesting things to get to. Obviously, Bol Bol's having surgery. The saga has just taken a bizarre turn. One nice thing about being at the arena today is you get to, you know, pull some guys aside and say, hey, what the hell's going on here? Maybe get just a little bit of perspective, as I would say. I can't really tell you I know what's going on, but at least some perspective to share. And then we're also going to talk about some comments from Aaron Gordon, some comments from Nikola Jokic in the post game, as well as some important news from around the association, guys, that I feel like is maybe it's flown under the radar. Wow. These last 3 days has flown way under the radar, but I think it actually frames, to me, the entire season in a good way for Denver.
Oh.
In a very, very, very good way for Denver. First, we have a gift. Should we open gifts first?
Yeah, man. Listen.
We had a fantastic weekend. I don't know if you guys noticed. We had a
beyond fantastic
weekend. Was it because Harrison was gone?
I mean, in that... using the scientific method, I can't rule it out.
We can't rule it out.
Until we have another one that he's a part of, we can then, compare and contrast. Wow. Yeah. It should have been terrible. The Nuggets got absolutely mollywopped, as the children say.
Yeah, they did.
The children say that?
It was bad. Everything was bad except for every other part. Yeah. All the people were great. The vibes, as you could probably imagine, were immaculate. They're fantastic. We met so many wonderful people, the people that we see every day in the chat. Jen... at the General.
Jen the General.
Who is a teacher, I believe.
Came Shout with out husband, teachers.
Gave us a gift, which is, first off, we got this cowbell.
Oh, it wow.
Has, on one side it has Nikola Jokic. I don't know if you're familiar.
We should, that you bell should it? Become a part of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I think it's like, instead of air horn, you are now a bellsman.
I'm the bellsman.
But you also need to go, let's go.
Maybe like the Wonder Bell or something.
For whom the bell tolls, it's me. She
That's
gave
like
us
a dark
a towel. It doesn't matter. We've got a
Left
towel.
Leftover from the playoff run.
Oh, wow. Is that a Colorado Honda's towel?
A whole bunch of candy. I'm definitely going to eat that.
Okay.
Yeah, the Colorado Honda edition.
And then a nice note, a magazine, and some stickers. We are touched.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Jen. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We love gifts. Everything on our set is a gift.
Yeah, we're easy to please.
I would say
Nikola Jokic right here was a gift. Both the literal sign and also Jokic himself.
I would say I also am a gift, wouldn't you say?
I think you are a gift.
So we got, and then also Eric... Eric Weiss, who's a longtime homie.
Oh, he's first ballot.
The number one owner of shirts from DNVR, gave us a bottle of Rakia. And we drank most
That is our preferred gift, if we're being completely honest.
So Rakia. All the homies came out. People dressed up.
Honestly, we saw someone person that attended that was up in Reddit said it was one of his favorite Nuggets experiences ever. Yeah. And the Nuggets lost by 23.
Yeah.
So just to tell you how fun it was, it... More than canceled that out to bring it up here to like a top topic of Nuggets experience. So next time we do one of these, you guys definitely want to check it out. I think these things are going to grow. I think everybody that came is gonna come back again.
Yes, of course. Week. Why wouldn't you? Like,
we had
like
two party buses last time. I want four party buses next time. I want four of them.
There you go.
yes.
All right, well, the people, I wanted to kind of update on that, but I want to keep it moving because the people here want to know about the Nuggets news today. And I want to start, we're going to get to the Bull saga part of this here in just a second. Okay. I want to set the table, though. The Nuggets did have practice today. You had an opportunity to speak with Michael Malone. What were sort of your takeaways, Harrison, from talking with him at practice today?
Yeah, I feel like Michael Malone's in a pretty good mood, all things considered. One thing that's been a theme to the Nuggets season and to Michael Malone's comments throughout the season is that he's trying to put perspective on the year, and I've heard him like more than any other season, maybe just because the Nuggets are more injured right now than they ever have been, and that says a lot for a team that's had a lot of injuries through his time here. But, you know, he has always been referencing how, look, we're in a pretty good spot. We're in fifth or sixth or whatever they're in the West right now. We're in a pretty good spot halfway through the season. We've heard him talk about a lot this season, how few home games they've played, how many injuries they've had, how they've had to fight through so much adversity. And look, part of me is like, it's a lot of excuses for a team that hasn't really used excuses in the past. But another part of me is thinking he's right. Like, this is their reality.
So it's interesting because this was one of George Carl's comments on the Keeping It 1000 podcast. Now, George, you know, no, he's not shy about throwing barbs. He's
Definitely
not shy
not.
About criticism. In fact, I would say he dives right into controversy.
I would say he prefers it,
including and maybe even especially with the Denver Nuggets. So take this with a grain of salt. But I was surprised when he brought this up to me. He said, man, I just keep hearing excuses from Malone and the organization. They just keep bringing it up. He's like, it's not that they're not right. It's just that you'd rarely hear guys talk about it this much. And when I was hearing it, I was like, I haven't noticed it that much. I think he actually told me, he said something like, I think your ears don't always hear everything or something like that. Like he threw a little barb at
selective listening.
He's like criticizing everyone, even me in this instance. Yeah. But honestly, from the moment he said that, maybe my ears have been opened a little bit more. And it is funny. I do hear it a lot, including in the pregame of this last game, Malone talking about, oh, we got the Utah Jazz tonight on a back-to-back again.
Well,
like,
I was
going to
bring this up today on the radio. On Altitude Radio, Michael Malone was on for his weekly segment, and he's called the Jazz loss a scheduled loss.
Right.
Said three games in four nights. We have a scheduled loss. So, like I just said, on one hand, yes, he's right. That is the reality. You know, the Nuggets are living in. And look, the Nuggets smoked the Lakers three nights ago, then lose to the Jazz on a back-to-back, then the Jazz lose on a back-to-back to the Lakers last night.
Right.
The reality of the NBA is it's like a rest Olympics. Like whoever just has the most rest is in the best chance to win. But on the other side of that, the Nuggets have had a great record on back-to-backs in the past.
Right.
They've won all these games where they shouldn't have. The seven, the back-to-back in Milwaukee a couple years ago. They haven't used those as excuses in the past. So I can see what George is talking about a little bit.
Well, can I just say,
please.
Like, it's sometimes people need perspective. Like like the concept of an excuse is just like so deeply, or it's just looked down upon so much in sports for, you know, for obvious reasons. But like these are legitimate things that are being said. Like the Nuggets are in a place where people are coming at them and like really criticizing them in a way that is not in keeping with the way that the season is actually going. It's not actually looking at like the total picture. And so we see this all the time where we'll be in a loser's lounge. We're like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. They lost. Like they lost the game. We're missing Jamal Murray. There's like a lot of things. There are a lot of factors that can't be ignored when you're talking about the season. And a lot of people aren't following the Nuggets that closely. So for me, like, you know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't bother me when the head coach says stuff like that.
I'm going to push back in this one way. Just some of this playing devil's advocate, but some of this is I don't really know where I side on this specific topic. We're going to have to see how the season plays out. A little behind the scenes on this, guys. Players are actually really coaches are never speaking to the media to speak to, like, answer their questions. Almost never. The bad ones are. And that's why we get Popeye Jones up there. He doesn't know what he's doing. He starts answering questions. Like, what's going on here? You're answering the question, bro. I want Jokic to marry my daughter. Like, hold on, man. Like,
me too, but I wouldn't say that.
Let's pump the brakes here. But Michael Malone is first team, all understands what the media is about.
Yes.
Like he knows, and it's frustrating sometimes when you actually want an answer. But Malone knows how to sort of wag the dog on these types of things. That's why, to me, I would agree with you in spirit if it was like, but who is he speaking to? That's the real question. Most of the time, Michael Malone is speaking to his own team through the media. That's the way you do it. You go out there and you're like, hey, my team needs to hear this, or we need to know this. Or maybe you're speaking to management. You know, like I remember Malone a while back, you know, there's some people in this organization that don't value toughness the way I do, and I'm going to play guys that are tough. Like sometimes these comments are always have another motive. And that's why I wonder why this year it does feel like the team is he's bringing those things up. And I'm thinking, who is he telling? Is he feel like his job is on the hot seat and he needs like the media army to have his back? Is he trying to calm his team down? Or is, and that's the thing. I look at this and I'm like, who is that message for? And that's why I don't know if it's needed. I mean, look, is the media and your experience in Denver like this year, is the media saying, oh, Denver has underperformed expectations relative to what's handed them? I don't think they have.
No,
I don't think anybody has.
I think what I'm saying, I think he's talking to the fans.
You think fans have, though?
No, yeah, I agree. I think some of it is putting signals to the fan base, for sure.
Because there are a lot of things. There's a lot of, like, fire Malone. There's a lot of, like, people losing perspective of
the, he doesn't see hard, that, though.
I don't think he sees that. That's like Reddit.
I don't know.
But I think he because he also said this at practice today, because typically at this point in the season, the Nuggets over the last 3 years have been in the top four in the West.
Yeah.
Right now, they're not. And if a fan just looks at the standings based on the last couple of years and this year, they think, oh, they're underperforming.
Yeah, they're bad.
The reality is they've had all these things go on, the injuries, COVID, blah, blah, blah. So I think part of that is a shout to the fan base saying, we're okay.
Yeah, like don't
because
jump
we've
ship.
Had to go through all this stuff.
Don't jump ship. Like don't lose faith. Like there are reasons why things are not going as you might have expected them to, and there's a good chance you have not been able to watch the Nuggets play. So if you're just looking at the box score and like just you're like, oh, the Nuggets lost again. What a bunch of goddamn losers. Fire Malone. Like I hear this stuff all the time. So
I don't
for
know.
Me.
I get it. I just don't know if that message is necessarily needed or whatever. And I do think that what a team needs from this point going forward, because the Nuggets have gotten relatively healthy now. There is, we talked about this, it does feel a little bit like phase two of the season is starting right now. And I do feel like phase two needs to be a, hey, this is where we make our move. No excuses. We have enough to win. Let's start getting better and better. And then when Jamal gets back, where the foundation has been laid for us to really blast off. So it's just a small note. We probably spent too much breath on this, to be honest, but it is an interesting thing that it does. My ears are sort of peaked on this.
It is the ultimate storyline for the Nuggets this season. Truly. It's what the Nuggets are, what they are perceived to be. Yeah. Are like, it feels
and what they could become in
what they could become
February or March.
Yes, this season is the season of purgatory, as we've mentioned, but it's just, it's hard to keep that perspective, like, because it sucks to watch them lose.
In what month?
February or March?
All right, I think it's another windism.
A windism?
February.
Oh, February.
February. February.
But the word being like,
I always point these February.
Well, who, frankly, who wouldn't? You're not like, oh man, I love that. You're like, man, you talk dumb.
February. It's a tough word to say. February.
But the largest point here is just keep, like, it's just, this is a keep the faith. Like, just keep the faith. Like, stick with us. Just believe in us a little bit. Like, things have not gone how you expected. They've certainly not gone how we expected.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I don't know.
Expecting.
They've kind of gone how I've expected.
Michael Porter Jr. was the number. We were expecting at the beginning of the year that Michael Porter Jr. would be the
that
number
is true.
Two option.
We got to keep it moving. What else that from practice today, Wind?
What else from practice? I'm going to save the bowl stuff because we'll get into that in a second. We talked to Bones Highland today.
Yeah. I love that dude more every time I see him.
He's
man,
great.
It's so funny.
He's the vibe master.
Bones is the ultimate where you're like, you know what? He needs to work on his passing. This is where I can't wait to talk to him. Then you talk to him disarmed. And you're like, he's
you
perfect.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So charming.
One
you watch him play one-on-one.
That,
he had a move today against Stephen Graham playing one-on-one that, like, Stephen Graham almost fell over. Stephen Graham, very good one-on-one player. He almost fell over, but if any average Joe was playing two torn ACLs trying to guard Bones on this one move he did, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, that was something.
Guys go deep into their bag when it's practice. You know, like, in a game, everybody plays a little conservative. When you see guys in a one-on-one practice, it's like, they're trying the crazy little stuff that you're like, why? And they make it look so easy. You're like, why don't you try that in a game?
Totally. One interesting thing that Bones said today, remember the ankle injuries that he had? That wasn't even that long ago. What was that? A couple weeks ago where he was spraining an ankle every game?
Yes.
He said today that he's required to wear ankle braces on both ankles now. The team has mandated that he wears two ankle braces. Mm. One on each leg.
Wow.
One on each ankle. For every single game. His ankles have been healthy since. I think he started wearing them.
Knock on wood.
So that's good. But those were giving him a lot of trouble earlier this season. But he's adjusted, you know, some things to prevent that from happening. I thought that was interesting.
He had some good things to say. He even talked about the travel. I mean, I was eager, obviously, to ask him about that because I've been talking about it so much, about how he's had, like, his mom fly out for a few little stops on a road trip.
Yeah.
For the most part, he's solo on those. And I just don't think people realize that. I mean, think of how often you are alone on the road, or just, like, you know, this, especially this year, it is a different thing. So being home like this,
well, also in college, when you go out on a road trip, I don't know how every conference does this. In the Pac-12, you play a game Thursday and then Saturday.
Yeah.
So the max you're on the road for is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like 4 days.
Yeah.
In the NBA, that's like a two-game road trip.
Right. Right.
And think of how many long road trips Nuggets have already had. So he's traveling for longer than he ever has.
Right. No doubt about it. But the number one takeaway I had from seeing everybody at practice, but also in particular Bones, you know, we worry about some of the ups and downs of the season. Where's he at? I think Bones is in a great place.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like he's in a very confident, like, you know, again, this is part of why I feel like this is going to be such a big stretch for him, as I feel like he is comfortable. There was probably some moments of discomfort over the last month, but I feel like right at this very moment, he's in a comfortable spot.
And some other housekeeping stuff. Marcus Howard back from the G League, back after a two-game stint with Grand Rapids. Austin Rivers sounds like he's going to be playing tomorrow. He recovered from that non-COVID illness. And Jamichael Green's still in COVID protocols, so I don't think he's going to play.
Okay. Good to know. Why don't we hit a break? On the other side, let's get into this bowl story, which is a new piece to it. I have some interesting thoughts on it, and we'll kind of go back and forth about what all of this means. Bowl, of course, electing to have surgery on his foot.
Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Quick tone change there.
No, I got a little bit of the bends there.
If you guys are in the area, stop into the bar. We've got Breck Brew on tap. We've got the Breck Brew seltzers here as well. Mm. If you're not in the area, stop by your local liquor store. Stop by your local grocery store. They've definitely got Breck Brew there. Breck Brew is teaming up with the National Parks Conservation Association this year. The tragic fires in Colorado were devastating for so many last year. This is one of the reasons that Breck Brew is donating 1% of all their profits to the National Parks Conservation Association. So check them out. And again, if you're in the area, stop into the bar. We've got Breck Brew on tap. We've got the Breck Brew seltzers, which are just awesome. So if you're in the area, check that out. Also, Ball, if you want to work at Ball,
hell yeah,
they've got opportunities. They've got openings at their Golden Plant. They're looking for production technicians. If you want more info, jobs.ball.com and search for Golden or text Golden to 77222. The position is on the front line of their aluminum beverage can production process. They offer a competitive $27.39 per hour wage. So it's a nice wage.
Dude.
With potential for increases at 6, 12, and 18 months on the job. People are what make Ball special. People at every level come into work each and every day at Ball and give 100% to accomplish the goals. The production techs are the front line in Ball's can-making operation. So if you want more info, jobs.ball.com and search for Golden or text Golden to 77222.
All righty, perfect. Segment two here, DNVR Nuggets podcast, D-Line and Harrison with me. So Bol Bol gets traded to the Detroit. If I give you guys a timeline of events here, Bol Bol gets traded to the Detroit Pistons. All of a sudden, a couple days later, the trade out of sight, out of mind. We just assume it's done. You know, sure. I mean, 99.9% of times trades are done. All of a sudden, it's like, no, canceled. The Detroit Pistons, for medical reasons, did not like something. Then we get back to Denver. We had heard this and we talked about it behind the scenes. The Nuggets disagree. There's nothing wrong. You know, everything should be fine. The Pistons disagreed for whatever reason. They had a history of this. Michael Malone comes out and just says, we think Bol Bol is healthy. We believe he is healthy. And then today it is announced that Bol Bol has elected to have surgery. We saw every flavor of take, you know, today thrown at us. You know, is this an indication that the Denver Nuggets medical staff is incompetent? You know, what could this mean? Did they miss something? Did they miss this or that? My answer, as I start us off here, is, maybe. I mean, we don't know. Like, we really, there's a lot of things, there are a lot of layers to kind of peel back here. But what I will say is not necessarily, meaning not, I don't think you can draw the line, straight line from there to here. And what I mean is, Zion Williamson is in an interesting situation right now. And he maybe provides a little bit of a template for this in that the team came out and said he's good to go, right? Like, all summer, like, here he is. We see that he's massively overweight. And all of a sudden it was, oh, he had this injury in the offseason we didn't tell anybody about. Well, why didn't you mention it? Did you guys not know? Then he comes in. It's like, oh, no, actually, he's going to be back in a week. Then it was, oh, no, he's not. He's actually out for extended periods. So you see sometimes what's going on. And I could speak to the Zion situation of that has a lot to do with Zion has been very disconnected from the Pelicans organization from the start. Not too dissimilar, I think, from Bol Bol, from everything, you know, that we've seen and heard, been a little bit disconnected from the get-go about, you know, his fit on the team and minutes and this or that, whatever. Maybe getting advice from other people. Zion, then, you know, with the team not being on the same line, and then, of course, the team saying, we want you to make decisions for your health that you feel are best. We have our professionals. This is what they advise. And then sometimes people will get another opinion that says, hey, they're telling me to do something else. My understanding of the situation is it falls on the latter. The situation that with the foot was one that Denver thought this is not an issue medically, you know, that it's going to affect you. And similar to the Michael Porter situation, sometimes surgery can be a negative thing. You get a surgery, it could be bad actually for you. You don't get a surgery, you know, sometimes it's like surgery, maybe that's best, maybe it's not, but maybe it's worse actually. It can actually be worse. My understanding is maybe it's a situation like this where there is some area, some gray area. Team believes one thing, but they support whatever decision he makes. He felt one way until Detroit said something, and now maybe he is feeling a little bit different way, or his advisor is feeling a little bit differently. This is my understanding of it from like a broad strokes, or at least I don't really say this is what's happening. This is, I think, a possibility based on some of the information we have about Bol Bol.
Man, there's a lot there. There's a lot there.
Dude, I can't even understand any of this.
Here, I think here's like one thing we definitely know. Denver's view of Bol's foot and whatever medical opinion they had about him is different from what Detroit thought once right. They did imaging and an MRI or whatever whatever they did on him. The two teams had different opinions of his imaging
correct.
And if he should get surgery, if he should play on it, like blah, blah, blah. Denver thought he could play. He hasn't been on the injury report all season.
I think not only did Denver think they should play, I think they thought not like he could play, but like it's best for him to that this is an injury that, you know,
yeah.
That you can improve with strength training or this or that better than like a surgery or this or that.
Yeah. And Detroit looked at it and allegedly, I mean, I think there's going to be more to this story that comes out. And
sure.
I don't think Denver's going to look good at the end of it, even though it might not be the Nuggets' fault.
Right.
But Detroit apparently looked at it and said, nah, Like, right. This is not kosher. Right. He's not good to play. And it sucks because, look, if you're a 7'2" guy, if you're a big man, the last thing in the world that you want is a foot surgery.
Right.
That is a death sentence for a lot of big men, as we've seen. We've also seen a lot of big men recover from it. Kevin Durant, like, you can get back from it, but he's already had a foot surgery. This is on the other foot, but it's not good.
For his future, I do wonder, like, if this is the right move. You know, he wants a contract next year. He wants to be on a team, on a contract, and now it is a guy coming off of two foot surgeries, which I feel a little weird, but, you know, the Pistons in general, you know, kind of put him in that type spot, but with how they did this. So, his career, I think, actually takes a big question mark from this point forward.
And I was going to get to that. From, like, if you're the Pistons, man, you might have just ended this guy's career. Like, to be totally honest, to say he failed a physical and the next step that, you know, his camp took, because I'm sure they're worried about, like, is he going to be able to pass a physical with another team if he gets traded?
Right, right.
You know, is he just stuck here? So this is obviously the route they felt they had to go after the physical was failed. And to do that, to kill a kid's career potentially over, like, the 55th pick in the second round, it's tough. Like, it's a tougher look for Detroit, I think. But I think the Nuggets are going to come out of this looking pretty bad. Like I said, even though it might not be their fault.
What one final piece to all this, when people think, like, whose fault are all this? And again, like, I really don't know. I'm not saying this as in, like, sometimes I'll say, like, hey, I don't know, but I know I'm just trying to, like, lead, you know, I can't report on a source. This one I legitimately don't know, you know, all, like, exactly where all of, to credit this or that. But I know with Zion, one of the issues was, okay, you got some, like, lower body injuries. One really important part of this is strength training and diet. Like, you need to make sure.
Yeah.
And, of course, Zion did not do himself or the team any favors by not putting himself in the best position. We don't know with a Bull Bull situation. Maybe there's something similar there. Like, hey, there's a foot injury. Here's how you get it better. You got to work on these muscle groups that are going to take weight off of that. And maybe over time it wasn't addressed. So my whole point of saying this is, the team may end up sharing and it come to light, hey, some blame. Like, how did you miss this? You know, this is a big thing. Or maybe it's not that they missed it. It's like, hey, well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, in terms of, like, how we feel was best to address this. So, or maybe it's, and most likely, it's some combination of all of these pieces to it.
The part about this that is most confusing to me as a layman and a moron is that he appears to walk just fine. I've seen no issue. I mean, are they saying that they're looking at something that they see potential, that it looks weak to them and it could be hurt in the future? I mean, Bull Bull is clearly not hampered by this at all. Like, in if they're saying that he has been playing in a compromised way, like, I've not, I mean, potentially maybe it makes it so he doesn't know where the boundary of the court is, so he steps out of bounds every time. But I mean, seriously, this is, like, so confusing to me. Like, I don't get it.
It's confusing because we don't know exactly why the physical was failed. We can assume it was because of the foot, but we don't know what the Pistons saw on the imaging that made them say that. Right? It could have been anything, and they were just like, "Oh, failed."
And we know some of these like workouts that they put a player through to test them, they're actually pretty, can be strenuous. Not just like your physical where you have to turn your head and cough and they're like, okay, we just checked everything out. Sometimes they'll make you do like actually athletic exercises to test, or strength tests to say, again, similar to, we're worried about the foot. How do you respond? How are your quads? What are your strengths there?
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it could have been something like that where they're like, not only is there an injury there, but we don't feel like his body is ready to mitigate the risk of the injury. I don't know.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories we could talk about the Pistons getting buyer's remorse, but I'm going to save that for another time.
Here's what I will say. One, we know that the Pistons have done this before. Monte Yunus wasted no time in saying, hey, they did this to me and it ruined my career in the NBA. I had to go overseas to finish my career because everybody believed I was like broken. So we know that this has happened in the past. What I will say is Denver, I think, is stuck with Bol Bol. Now you're not trading Bol Bol, the player you get a look at for 2-3 months. Instead, you're trading Bol Bol, it's just a contract. So Denver likely, if they do keep Bol Bol, you know, it's just a roster spot. Otherwise, they probably have to buy him out and then to open up a roster spot. So
that's going to be the end to a ridiculous saga.
Right.
Like the whole thing.
The saga of Bol this season, it's like, oh, you know, can he break into the rotation? Can he be a backup? That was squashed pretty early. And then it's, oh, can we trade him? Oh, we have a trade for him.
Right.
And now he's back on the team. And this is going to end with Denver having to just waive him.
Yeah. Man, the entire
or buy him out. I don't know.
Bol Bol is so like bizarre. Like right. every he is this phenom as a child. You see him. He's like people do features on him. He's like 3 or 4 feet taller than everyone he's playing against. He then makes a finally makes his debut at Oregon. He plays like what, like 3 games or something?
Like 7, yeah.
Yeah, like nothing. But it's people can't stop thinking about what this guy could be, like what he possesses. He has that like crazy draft night suit, and then the fall where everyone thought he could potentially be a lottery pick. He falls into the deep into the second round. Denver gets him by buying a pick. They didn't even have a pick that year. Then ever since he's been like part of the Nuggets organization, it's been like super strange, like messages coming about his conduct, like the way that he act, like just the whole thing. This whole Bol Bol story is like the strangest thing.
Strangest maybe, but maybe there's a pattern to it. I mean, like part of why he dropped in the draft, I think what everything we heard was as much about other things, the intangible things or off the court, as it was about maybe the injury history. And so you think like, okay.
And all that stuff proved to be exactly correct.
And this is all I'm saying is at a certain point you look at it and you go, well, if everybody's kind of coming up with the similar reports, then maybe there's something to it. So I wish Bol Bol the best, but this is a real complication for him. First and foremost, like the Nuggets can handle not having the roster spot. It'd have been great if they could go out and get a Rodney Magruder, but it's like not really going to make that big of an impact on the season.
Does Rodney Magruder get a tribute video? That's my biggest question.
We get a Rodney Magruder every year.
Yeah, but for Bol Bol's career, I do feel like this is one where you look at it and you go, it's going to be even tougher, in my opinion, now for him to break into the league. Just a little bit tougher, and it was already really tough.
Yeah, that's the last thing I'll say on it. This last iteration of the Bol saga, I really feel bad for him. Yeah. I really genuinely feel for him because he was going to Detroit in probably the best situation in the league for him to play real minutes and get real playing time, and it was going to be great. Like, he's been waiting for this for the last 3 years. Now, the last 3 years, I think he deserves a lot of blame for, what's happened in Denver and him not being able to get on the court and some of the relationships with the team that have been strained. He's definitely at fault there. But this last episode, I feel for him because he was going to get a real chance, and now it's going to have to wait, until next season.
Moving on, I want to play a clip that was pretty important here. We're going to start with the Aaron Gordon one from the postgame the other day. Some really interesting postgame commentary in regards to, one, Nikola Jokic and how he gets officiated. Why don't you go ahead and hit play on that, Kale?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy that Jokic doesn't get more free throws. Like, Jokic was 3 for 3 from the free throw line. That's unbelievable. I mean, I had two for two from the free throw line. But the fact that Jokic is 3 for 3 from the free throw line is just not even right. He's fouled every play, Obviously, the refs aren't going to call it every play, but they're all over his arms. They're all over his body. They're grabbing him. He's just not officiated the same way as everybody else, and it's not right. He's a reigning MVP of the league. He's getting 3 free throws a game, still doing what he's doing. Like, he needs more foul calls because they're fouling. It's not anything – it's not like begging, it's not asking for something that's not there. We're just asking for him to be officiated like everybody else is being officiated, because that's not right, man. He's being fouled all the time. So he needs more foul calls.
AG, what I like about this one, he's sticking up for his guy, but what I like is I would describe him as exasperated.
Yeah. That seems to be the common place that people come to when they play with Jokic for a while and are asked to explain why it is that Jokic has 3 free throws per game when he plays primarily down to the block and ends each game with like literal streams of blood coming from the back of his arms.
25, 15, and 14. And if you look at his shot chart, almost all in the paint outside of like 5 jump shots. 37 minutes, 25, 15, 40. Like, he just lives in the paint. You're like, no, there weren't any fouls in there. Like, he just wasn't getting fouled. It really is insane.
And it's the worst part about the worst part about just being on the side of Nikola Jokic, knowing the truth, and just seeing how other people sort of react to him and the way that he plays, etc. Is like, you'll hear people rumblings from around the league talking about like, oh, he's so dramatic. He's like begging for calls. Like, it's like he's flopping out there, and you're like, God damn, man, you don't get it. Like, right. unless this guy does, like, gets it so deep into his bag, his actor bag, and, like, flops around and flails like everybody else in the league, like, the refs are just like, eh, it's probably fine.
Well, what's funny about it to me, or not funny, what's frustrating about it to me is fouls are designed to be like, there's rules to what you can do, and if you break those rules, then, you know, it's a foul. We want the game to be played according to the rules. But if you go and just look at every foul call, especially shooting foul, let's specifically shooting fouls, most are not about a player breaking the rule. They're about an offensive player drawing a foul. Yeah. Now, this is a strategy. I'm not trying to take away. It's important. Like, when I used to train kids at basketball, but we would work on how to generate contact off of guys getting off balance. So this is like obviously part of the game. But if you can just go through it on like synergy and hit play all foul calls, most of them are guys throwing their arms in unnatural positions to draw them. They're guys that are like purposely trying to fall over into a guy or this or that, and it works. The thing about Jokic is he's always actually playing basketball, and I think it works against him. Like Jokic, the only time he like sometimes he'll do a rip through like this or that. And he does draw fouls this way on off-ball fouls. Like, you know, he'll grab a guy's arm to exploit this or that. But as far as shooting, when he's shooting, he's trying to make the basket.
Yes.
And that's why he doesn't get foul calls. That's one of the reasons.
So the whole idea of the foul is that you're not supposed to inhibit a person from being able to make the shot, to shoot a basket.
Right.
Like, you're supposed to be able to put your hand up and distract them. But if you physically, encounter them, then that's why that's a foul. That happens to Jokic every single time he touches the ball. People will hit his arm. He's just strong enough that it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the Shaq effect.
It is the complete Shaq effect. We've been talking about this for years. He's a live oak. He's too strong.
Yeah, I know. I was on the list, which hopefully will be up maybe late tonight or early tomorrow morning. I'm watching, like, he first play of the game, he gets switched with Malik Monk. And Malik Monk's so tiny. I mean, so his, like, only goal is to just, like, lean on Jokic as much as possible. And I'm thinking, like, Jokic's big enough, he just went right through him. But I'm thinking, like, if that was reversed and Jokic just had to lean on Malik Monk in the same way, it'd be, like, such an obvious foul. And I'm like, why is this different? I don't understand it, why it's different. But it is. You're right. It's just you're big, and most big guys power their way through for points. Jokic's just a super rare example of a big who finesses his way to points. But he gets the negative of both aspects of it because he doesn't get the foul part of it.
Imagine adding, like, he should be adding another 12 points per game from the free throw line.
Well, so, I would say to Aaron Gordon, welcome to the resistance.
Right.
We've been fighting this battle for 6 years. Glad Aaron Gordon's on board. Welcome. Right. Welcome. We've got a tough fight ahead of us, but we're ready. Nikola Jokic averages less free throws per game than De'Aaron Fox.
Again, but I mean,
DeMontis Sabonis, Pascal Siakam, and here's the greatest one, Kristaps Porzingis averages more free throws per game than Nikola Jokic.
Because you know why? Those guys play out on the perimeter outside of Sabonis.
Yeah, Kristaps Porzingis roams around the three-point line all game.
That's how you
like
get him.
Baits the ref into two, like, three-point foul shots per game.
That's how you get fouls, man. That's how you get fouls.
He averages more. Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah, more free throws per game.
That's ridiculous. I really do, you know, Aaron Gordon, though, I am glad he said it. I do feel like Malik Malone saying things, like, it's just like nobody cares. And I don't really think the Aaron Gordon stuff went viral enough for it to have mattered either, so I don't know if it's going to matter, but I do like
Didn't get on NBA Today.
It didn't really make an impact everywhere. Another quote we have, Nikola Jokic after the game. Let's take a look at this one. Another interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, we know that we cannot make shots, and the whole league knows that we cannot make shots. So sometimes we make, like last night, and it's easy. You know, sometimes like today, I think we provided good open shots, but we didn't make those. So it is what it is. We need to live it. Like I said, I think we were providing open shots. Sometimes we couldn't make it. So I think in the most part we were good.
So this was my hot take when we were doing a hot box and hot takes with our fans that were on the party bus and had a fun time. And like, it's one of those ones I'm kind of just winging it because I didn't know we were going to do that segment. So I'm like, hey, I'll give one. But the more I thought about it, it's like one of those things I said, then I had to think about it. I'm like, you know what? I might be onto something here.
You should do that with most things you say.
Just talk.
Like, and think about them at some point.
This is Michael Scott. They're like, sometimes I'll start a sentence and I have no idea where I'm going. But here's like a like, you can honestly think about this. Like, Yoke's having a monster season. I just can't believe how good this dude is, despite the fact, as he says, everybody knows we cannot make shots, so they're just leaving us open. And we're generating open looks. And some nights we hit them and we win by 40, and he's right. Like, the Nuggets have shot the ball well a few times. And in those games, they weren't just like they squeaked one out. They're like, yeah, they won by 40 because they shot 50% from three. I do think there's hope for reinforcements in the shooting department on the way. I'm just curious what this version of Jokic looks like when you actually have to guard him one-on-one. Because even the Gobert, in the moments we saw him in this last game, we've seen Jokic destroy Gobert, but even it's been a grind. I felt like the times he destroyed him in that Utah game were the easiest he's ever had it, where it was like, my God, he is just like not even trying to score on him, and he's scoring on him. So I just feel like there's at least a little bit of hope for, hey, man, a little bit of shooting, and even Jokic's like, just wait. It's going to open up like crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, if you get Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. back this year, those are two of your best shooters.
Right. Like, elite shooters.
Michael Porter Jr., by far your best shooter. And if you look at the Nuggets' three-point percentages this season, there's really not a ton of guys who are like having really, really bad shooting seasons. I think it's just mostly because like Denver's three-point shooting is down, mostly because you don't have the four threes per game from Michael Porter.
Of course.
Like, you don't have the 40-plus percent that he shoots from three. You don't have the high 38, 39% that Jamal Murray shoots from three. Like that's why the Nuggets' three-point shooting is down this season. So if you get one of those guys back, Jamal, you know, definitely has a better shot at being a big-time contributor, I think, late in the season. That's huge. I think at the deadline, the Nuggets will look to add a shooter. Like, does Bryn Forbes get you excited at all?
Man, he does. Are you kidding me? Bryn Forbes is...
No, it was a legit question.
Bryn Forbes is sort of like the NBA version of Marcus Howard. I know, like, I'm not trying to just... I'm just saying Bryn Forbes has actually done this at the level, but he's very similar in that he can, like, get the shots up at volume. He can run off a bunch of screens and go right into his jumper, and he's a pretty knockdown guy.
I think he's a name to watch for sure.
But Eric, let me ask this one. Do you feel like Jokic was maybe calling out his teammates here in a way that was negative?
I don't think he's like specifically calling out his teammates, but I think he's just saying what is the truth. He's just saying, like, you know, it's another one of these things where you watch these guys talk about a game that was just like so exasperating and terrible. And like, we all know what the problem is. We look at the bench production. That's like everybody on the bench scored a maximum of 2 points apiece.
Right.
And Jokic is, you know, like, especially from his perspective, the guy that prides himself, you know, maybe not even outwardly, but just like always on making the right play, finding the guy that's open, like cracking the code, and then like just having it just not working. That like sucks. You know, it's like playing fantasy football. You put all the right players and then they just don't score. You're like, okay, well, God damn it. Like, we just need to score. Like, I'm sure it's immensely frustrating for him. Like, because again, like, he just understands the game so on such a different level. And, you know, if you don't have guys that can complete the play, like, what is the point of making a great pass? Like, I'm sure it's like super fresh, but it's like Harrison said, like, what are you gonna do? I mean, like, who are you expecting to hit a shot on this
team? Honestly, now I am Will Barton Bones highlight, because part of this is, we're like, you know, they haven't had Murray, they haven't Michael Porter, they haven't had Barton for half these games, you know, for some of these games. And then when they've had him, like, there's been just so many nights where it's like, man, he does not have any lift.
But he's shooting around like the same percentage he shot from last year, though.
I know, but it's on a different shot profile and also a different necessity. Like, whereas last game, Barton, if you have a fully healthy team and Barton has an off shooting night, it's like, whatever. Did Murray, did MPJ, did Jokic, whatever. Now it's like, if Barton had an off shooting night, you're like, oh man, did Marcus Howard step up for a layup? Like, we get three pointers from somebody else tonight. So that's my whole point. But nonetheless, like, even just if you count the games where Bones Highland has been both available and healthy, cross match those with the games that Barton has been available and, you know, hasn't looked like completely fatigued. Just that, and then talk about Monte, throw Monte in there. Even that, you go from 42 games down to probably like 12. And so that's my whole point, is I think that there is a little bit better shooting to be had from this team when you get everybody together, like they have right now. Like, right now they're in a moment. And this is why I'm especially interested in tomorrow's game. I think it's one of the most interesting games on the slate for this very reason. Nuggets played the Clippers a month ago, and I thought it was the birth of this new don't guard, like, just double Jokic strategy.
For half it was.
That the teams are just like, okay, we know what to do now. And And you know what? Denver barely won that one. I mean, Denver won by 3 points. Then they lose to him another time. You get a little practice, and I'm just so curious. One, does Denver have some things built in for, like, here's how we're going to attack this? And two, does Denver just knock down the shots? Because one way you beat that type of defense is you get really hot from three, and all of a sudden everybody's stepping out, and Jokic can feast. So tomorrow, I actually think, sneaky, super interesting game, and yeah, I'm very excited for it. Let's hit a break. On the other side, guys, the big news around the NBA that has gone under the radar.
That's a hell of a tease.
Under the radar.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer, you can still get in on the action of the divisional round with same game parlays.
What?
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. That's very important. Use the promo code DNVR. Get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5. Win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code DNVR for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also, guys, Sexy Pizza, they got a bunch of locations throughout Denver. They've got one on South Pearl. They've got one in the Highlands. They've got a bunch of locations in Denver, like I said. Delicious pizza, great salads, great sides. If you were at a Broncos tailgate this season, a DNVR Broncos tailgate, you know what I'm talking about. Delicious pizza. Everything they make is really, really good. So again, visit one of their locations. They've got four in Denver: Cap Hill, South Pearl, Jefferson Park, and Park Hill. Order up some pizza. They've got great garlic knots as well, salads as well. So check out Sexy Pizza today.
All right, final segment here, guys. Some things that happened in the NBA over this last week, and I don't think everybody's fully taking inventory of what's going on. I think people are asleep at the wheel. We talk about the Denver Nuggets, their championship window. What does this look like? You season it's been cursed, what have you. Let me just go around the association here. Draymond Green, he's got a little knee pain, guys. He's got a little knee pain. Is it a tendon in the knee? Is it is there a break in the bone? Let's say actually no. It was reported this weekend. It's actually related to a herniated disc. A herniated disc.
I'm an expert in this area.
Is causing some knee pain. It's the nerves through that. So now you look at this and you go, wow, a back injury, and he's not going to be evaluated for a couple weeks. So not only is he not playing now, and they're on an enormous slide, by the way, the Golden State Warriors are, but this is now sounding like the MPJ news of like, actually that leg thing, it's not a leg thing, it's a back thing, and we hope with some therapy and an injection it works, but if not, we'll have to make an alternative plan. I look at this and I go, no matter what the circumstance, there is a world in which he just returns and is 100% healthy. But it looks like if nothing else, they're going to slide in the standings just because they're going to have to play a couple weeks without him. But there's also the herniated disc, man. That's a little bit of a bigger deal. I look at that and I go, Golden State, they just took a massive hit of their title odds, in my opinion, because their road is just going to get harder and harder. And they might be in a situation where we talked about they got Clay back early, so they get extra time to work together. Might not be true. It's entirely possible Draymond does not return until Jamal Murray returns, which means that team has the exact same amount of time to gel as Denver will. And I just feel like that's a pretty meaningful thing, and that's only one example here. Your thoughts, Harrison?
I mean, it's huge. And look, if the Warriors don't have like Draymond Green, they're not winning the championship. No, like, right. The Warriors are not the Warriors without Draymond Green. We've seen that over the last couple of games. We saw that up close and personal when the Nuggets smoked them without Draymond Green while Steph Curry was still on an absolute heater.
Smoked them and then blew it, but yes. But they did also did smoke them.
They did smoke them. Yeah, wow, I didn't remember that.
Remember they were up like 20-something and then they blew it all and won barely?
Yeah.
But that's kind of
counting that as a smoking.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, the Warriors need Draymond Green. And
they are not scary without Draymond Green.
No.
I'm sorry. The Golden State Warriors, I think they're fantastic. I love their style. You take away Draymond Green, there's no Nuggets equivalent to that. Like right. him and Steph Curry are uniquely like where they. I mean, I guess it's like Jamal. It'd be a little bit like losing Jamal.
It's not because like
they don't work.
Jokic is almost more Draymond than he is Steph.
Yeah,
which is a weird thing to say, but like Draymond is integral to
right.
how that team operates on offense as well as defense. So it's absolutely massive.
Yeah, I do. I love when stories like this come out. Not because I don't. Not because I want Draymond Green to be, you know, to be suffering. But it just serves another dose of reality of like what it is. Like the NBA is really brutal this year. It's wild. Like it sounds trite, but like there's only five guys on the court at any right. time. If you have one massively important guy missing, it changes everything in a way right. that's like you can't even like really process when you're watching the game. It just kind of happens, and then later on you're like, man, why do they suck? Not right. only they're good, but now they suck. Why? You're like missing a guy, like but I'm saying like they miss one guy, like they're yeah. on a massive slide. We're missing two, like that kind of tells the story of the Nuggets. So I think you're right though, without Draymond Green, like
the Warriors, West just gets a little bit easier. Let's go, you guys know Brooklyn in the East. I think they're heavy favorites. But now there's news. Kevin Durant, that knee injury he had, it's actually a sprained MCL. He's out 4 to 6 weeks before yep. he gets evaluated. 4 to 6 weeks, that's post All-Star break. That's another team that just got Kyrie Irving back. Harden has been up in and out. KD back. So this is another team that I look at and I go, yeah, they're on the Jamal Murray timeline. Post All-Star break is when they're first going to get together, and then they're going to have to gel there. So I still think the Nets upside is insane, like if they're all healthy. But it's just another data point of like, are we sure they're going to be healthy? So to me, I looked at it before and I thought, all right, Phoenix, Golden State, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. There's these teams that are like, man, they're really good. To get to that level, it's going to be hard for Denver. Two of those teams just took a massive hit. And I'll take you one last one. Paul George, supposed to be back sometime this week, just announced. Nope, actually, he's out for several more weeks. Could take him all the way to the All-Star break as well. And you're talking about a team that has been hanging by a thread for quite a while now. So they're another team that is below Denver in the standings, and I thought they're going to be competing for a spot. I look at that now and I go, you never know what's going to happen, but if they don't have Paul George for another 3-4 weeks, I have a hard time buying that they're a contender for the five
no
seed.
Chance.
And if they have to get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and piece all of this together, same thing in like a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
another team that I just look at and I go, yeah, that's not that good. So in my opinion, over the last just like 5 days, we have seen three teams that I would consider contenders, two main contenders and a fringe contender in the Clippers, all see their odds massively decrease. And I just look at that and I go, when I talk to people in the front office, you know, at Ball Arena or this or that, and I ask them just about the season, they're like, man, this year is so wide open. I don't think people realize how wide open it is. This week is the year I kind of looked at it and I go, man, it really is. Like a team that gets hot at the end and figures this out quickly can have a Cinderella run all the way to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking. I think that the Phoenix Suns probably.
They're the one team that hasn't faced very much of
this
at all.
They never get hurt. They don't get hurt. It's. I think maybe it's the weather.
Every team in the league right now is just holding their breath. You know,
yes.
that they don't suffer a major injury.
It's right. wild, man. Like I do not remember. And maybe it's just because I'm an old person, but like, I don't remember a season ever being this riddled with people being in and, I mean, the COVID thing, obviously.
Well,
like,
that's probably what happens when you play two seasons in one calendar year.
For sure.
It's just funny whenever you talk even to other fan bases, or if you go and check out some of your famous writers, just kind of read their replies from other places. Everybody has the same conversation. And so many teams, like you would look at, you know, you might look at the Nets or you might look at the Clippers and think, what is their fan base saying? And there's a contingent of them that are like, we should just punt this year. We should just take it. You're like, wait a second. If the teams we picture as being too good are also like, woe is us, this will never be good. That just tells you, hey, man, this is a year where I just think it's a little bit more open than people realize in a very positive way. And those injuries this weekend to me, I'm like, wow, those aren't little. A herniated disc.
That's not
maybe
real
it's nothing. Maybe he does come back and it's fine and then they're ready for a go. But maybe it's not. And that's just a pretty major injury.
The mindset that the Nuggets have to have, that every other team has to have, is like, okay, let's just get to the last 10 games of the season of the regular season.
10 games? Jeez,
yeah.
Not very
like,
many.
Like, that's what we
at least
need.
15 games. 10 games.
That might be too much. Like, that might be too much to ask. Let's get to the last 3 weeks of the season. Let's get everybody healthy. Let's ramp up. and make sure we're good to go by the first round. That's really all you can hope for, because these injuries can come out of nowhere. You just got to brace yourself try to get through it.
I think this season there's going to be a team that right now we look at as a true contender that's going to be knocked out in the first round, and there's going to be a team that we're like, they just don't have it this year, that at least makes the second round, if doesn't go even further than that, that we're like, wow, I did not see Miami, or I did not see Dallas making it to the Western Conference, or maybe the Nuggets. I didn't see them making it to the conference finals, and all of a sudden, yeah. Michael Porter now has 20 games under him in a row. Jamal Murray has 25 games under him, and now they're rolling. Yeah. I'm just saying it's more likely than I thought. That's today's show, guys. We're going to be back tomorrow. As I mentioned, we teased it a little bit. This Clippers game, to me, so interesting. I am predicting a Denver Nuggets comfortable win. Okay. I really believe this. A little bit of rest, a little bit of game planning, a little bit of strategy. You're going up against a team you've seen a lot lately. I think this is a comfortable Denver Nuggets win, and I'm very excited for it because I think it'll be a little bit of a revealing game for the Nuggets. So
love it.
We'll be back here with the pregame show tomorrow. It's another night. You guys see the schedule? 8 o'clock game again.
Ah! Are they on national TV?
I guess. There's an 8 o'clock, or it might be NBA TV. It's worse when you hit the NBA. You're late for that. And it's not even national.
The NBA TV late starts are, I just don't even know. Nobody even gets NBA TV. Nobody's watching anyway.
If you guys don't mind, if you guys are watching this show and you enjoy our show, don't forget we are also a podcast. We're also a subscription network, so you can follow all of our written content behind the paywall, becoming a member. But if you could do us a favor, hop on your phone, go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We haven't had one of those for a while, so let's bump those up. Let's make January the month of all these great reviews. Say something nice about Harrison, something nice about D-Line. You know,
whatever.
Compliment those.
Never mind. It's ESPN tomorrow. Sorry, NBA TV production people.
National television.
It's game. ESPN tomorrow.
Alrighty. We'll see everybody then.
Let's go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.